a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapter 40. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
I want you to notice something I've noticed throughout my study of the Scriptures from the day I started till today, and that is that God has always only had a remnant. Now, I don't know who it is. I know I'm in. I know God and I are doing okay. I know He's got my back. I know He's loved on me through the years. It's personal. And it's validated by Scripture, not by experience. I know what He's doing. I know how He does it. I've learned to lean on Him. And that's what it is with God. What He does is He comes along. He leads beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. That's what He does. And so when you see these things, you see that God has always had a remnant. Even in this book, you have Isaiah, and he's the only one who knows what's right and wrong. I mean, Hezekiah is asking, but he's not sure of much of anything. The Bible says, to whom will you liken God? Verse 18, what will you compare him to? He that is impoverished or in danger, that hath no oblation. He doesn't think he can be saved. So what he does is he chooses a tree. And then he seeks out a workman to prepare a graven image. In other words, he could have taken the money and bought an oblation, but he's in danger, and he doesn't figure God's listening. So he got a tree, and he bought a guy to make the tree into an idol. In this word, it's a graven image. And it says he gets this workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is God that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. When we talk about science, God said this was a sphere. When other people were saying it was flat. God knew. How did He know? Because He made it. And in fact, He threw a ball up in the sky called the moon and another one called the sun, and they were round too. And He said, now look at that and think about it for a minute. And it took hundreds of years for everybody to say, well, it was probably round like everything else is round out there. And the more we look at that, the more it intrigues and thrills as well. It says, it is God that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. And that's huge, because we want to think that the government is God. We want to think the government's got our best interest. Do you know, when the government tries to give you more of something, it's not because they care about you. It's because they want to control you. Do you think they care about your internet? Do they think they care about your ability to get the materials that you want in 2 days shipping free? You know, that's all ramping everything up to a fever pitch to get us to the place where the government can say, you can't buy or sell without a mark. Because if they can get it to us that quickly, they can take it from us that quickly. Flip the switch, you don't get no food. You don't get no medical care. You know, you have smart refrigerators. Heard a guy on the radio this past week. He was talking about smart refrigerators. He said, yeah, just think about it. If they've got the government in control, and they've got the health care under control, and they know how you're eating, they're going to say, well, you don't get any health care because you've been eating too many Pop-Tarts or whatever, and you know, been eating some ice cream, and you've been healthy. Amen. Not yet, brother. Not yet. They ain't taking our ice cream yet. But what we see here is it's getting bad, right? The princes. We think the princes. This Bible says he brings princes to naught. He maketh judges of the earth as vanity. You know, there are people who are very august in our day. People that if you met, maybe a sports personality that you think is pretty neat, you'd feel flattered to meet them. But the Bible says that these guys are all vanity. Verse 24, yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. What he's saying is that these princes and these judges, they're vanity, and so are the gods you're worshiping. So are the things you're trusting in. And he says, those things aren't going to last. He says, he's going to blow on them, and they shall wither and whirl, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. Now, in verse 24, it says that, but if you remember back up in the top where he talks about the grass withers and the flower fades, we didn't really drill into it too much, but the Bible says men wither and fade away because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon them. The Spirit of the Lord does that. So when I get blown away by my circumstance, I just need to say, okay, God, this is the way we're going. Because, you know, everybody gets gone, right? You know, when they take some of these big name faith healers into the hospitals, they take them in the back door many times. They don't want anybody to wonder what is going on.
Well, they're
going to
die.
Or they're going to be sick or whatever, because people get sick. They all get sick. You look at all the people, all the ages. You look at the Spurgeons. You look at the Moody's. You look at the Finneys and Jonathan Edwards. And David Brainerd was 30 and he died of consumption. And he was a great evangelist, but he's died. Why? Because God is in control of all things. And sometimes He gives us a flash in the pan so we can say, that's what it looks like. If you live too long, you might really mess it up. But if you just take it as God knows. God knows. Okay? And we just let Him be God because He can comprehend everything. And so He's telling us that He blows upon those princes. He's going to blow upon those idols. They're all going to be gone. He says, who are you going to liken me to? Verse 25. Now, he started that question in verse 18. So you see, this is a longer section. He says, to whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal? Nobody. He says, lift up your eyes. Now, earlier, he said in verse 9, lift up your voice. What he's doing is he's trying to help Israel get on board. If they're in a faraway land under captivity, they can preach about their God. Daniel did it and his three friends, right? Ezekiel did it. You have ample examples of how God takes one person and turns the world upside down just through their testimony alone. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number and that calleth them all by name by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou? These are direct addresses. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your voice. Why do you say, O Jacob, verse 27, and speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God. What he's saying is he's saying, Israel's sitting back saying, God doesn't care about us. He says, that's not even possible. That's not even possible. He created them. He called them. He covenanted with them. They have promises. They don't get in to heaven any other way than we do. But whosoever will can come. And that's the way they got saved, and that's the way Abraham got saved. Pre-law, pre-works. There was no law. Moses hadn't been born. He believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, you can't believe God if you don't know what God said. There's a lot of people who think, well, I'm Christian, I go to church, and then they'll tell you all the things they do. Well, I try to get money, or I help people, and I'm trying to be nice to people, and, you know, I pray, and, you know, I know God loves me, and, you know, they can tell themselves that all day long, but down deep in their heart, maybe they don't have a promise. Some people do, and they just aren't quite able to put their finger on their lives, but I want you to know, that's a dicey enterprise. If you're not in the book, you don't have many promises. We need some covenants. They've been a covenant. They had the Abrahamic covenant. They had all these covenants that God cut with them. He says, I will never leave you. I am not going to cast you off forever. There will be a time of blindness comes over them. They won't be able to hear. They're going to be a spirit of stupor, but they're going to come back. They're going to see Him whom they pierced, because God, by the residue of His Spirit, kept those people as a people. If you want a great trip, go to Israel. See what's going on. The very rocks cry out and testify that He is, and there is no other. The Bible says, why sayest thou, Jacob, my way is hid? God, my judgment is passed over from my God. You don't need to say that. We got you. He says, hast thou not known? And He says it again. Hast thou not heard? Verse 28, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, nor is weary. There is no searching of His understanding. You know what I said about His comprehensiveness? They've got a comfort in that. He's got this. He understands this. And it's something that you and I need to rest in. The Bible says, he that has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works, even as God did from His own works on the seventh day. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because it was done. And he called it very good. You and me, we get redemption. And redemption is even better than creation. Okay? It's perfect. It's absolute. It's clear. It's promised to those who will believe. The Bible says there's no searching His understanding. So you may be going into captivity, northern kingdom, but God is going with you. And He's going to keep you all together. Some of you will be saved, some of you will not. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, I believe it is, 9, 10, 11, I think it's 11. But the Bible says that not all Israel are of Israel. There's a lot of people who were born from Abraham but didn't have the faith of Abraham. The only people who are real, true Israelites indeed are people who believed as Abraham did. The Bible says in verse 29, He giveth power to the faint. They needed to know that when they were going into the crucible, didn't they? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. They needed to know that too. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's the life right there. Man, you run, man, as you get saved, you know, mount up with wings, it's exciting. You start running, I'm good, man, God's good. You know, the Bible says that they're going to walk and not faint. That's the latter days of our lives. We need to just trust in God on everything. And you know, if the Lord tarries, and He very well may, God is long-suffering. It's like Jonah, you know, He's like, Lord, I knew You'd forgive him. You know, he was mad at God. Fade to black. He's sitting in the morning and crying over a juniper tree that withered in the hot sun. Man, big revival down in Nineveh. But man, I knew You'd forgive him. You know, what is that all about? But the fact is God does many times tarry. God does many times wait longer than we might find it convenient for our purposes. Which means that there could be more and more persecution to the church on this level. You see, there's a difference between persecution given to the church by man and the wrath poured out from God. We are not appointed unto wrath, but we are called to suffer. It has been granted unto you, Philippians 1:29 says, not only to believe, but also to suffer for His name's sake. When we suffer and the world sees us suffer nobly, they take a note, and the Bible says when they see it, maybe they'll glorify the Lord in the day of their visitation because they will remember what you went through. You see, all our stuff's taken care of. We just need to become living sacrifices. Sometimes that's uncomfortable. And what we have to do is we have to go through whatever we go through, whether it's persecution or whether it's maybe pining and difficulty, sickness and feebleness. We don't know. But we have to take it each day from the hand of one who knows, who does know. He comprehends everything. He knows what your loved ones need. He knows what you need. He's working all things together for good to those that love God and to those that are the called according to His purpose. This is why we can continue to walk and not faint. Even through the fullest life that can possibly be lived, there's going to be some difficulties, some setbacks, some difficulties. And, you know, we're going to just have to absorb because we just say there's something beyond this. And there is something beyond this, beloved. You know how I know? Because Jesus said, tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And He spoke not of the temple of mortar and brick. He spoke of the temple of His body. And when they took Him and they crucified Him, and He was more marred in His face than any man ever. He was completely ripped and torn and shredded from the whipping and the beating and the spitting and the pulling of the beard and all of that. And then the nails. And then the agonies. And then the death. And then on the third day, He rose. And when He rose from the dead, He proved He was who He said He was because He said, tear down this temple and I'll raise it up. And He did. He called it because that's what God does. He calls the end from the beginning. He knows everything. And He comprehends everything. And there's great comfort in knowing Him as our Savior and our God. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.